Today is Thursday, January the 3rd, 2019. We're going to hear Reb Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Parshas Va'era.
So I want to thank everybody for showing up tonight. If you don't know it, we are Vleishik. So, just in case you want to know, would you please take your phone
silent
and show respect for your classmates, please, by lowering your volume or shutting them off, like I just did. Okay. So I want to thank, I'd like to thank those people who every week try to make arrangements to be here when I show up to help me schlep the food in. So I want to thank them very much for doing so. I really appreciate the help. And also for those people who brought some plates and some white silverware, white plasticware. Thank you. You know, we really do appreciate it, and we do use your donations. So keep them coming. We really thank you very much. I'd like to thank Rabbi Berger again and the Young Israel for being so generous and so nice and setting up the class for us week after week for Fleishik and Milchix and for just being so nice. It's very pleasant to walk into this synagogue and have a class here for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 people. It's very, very nice. So I want to thank Young Israel and thank all those people who helped. I want to wish everybody a good Erev Shabbos and a good Shabbos. We're going to be davening Maariv just a couple of minutes after class. And we could use everybody's help. Please, please make sure that there's a minyan here before you leave. And Ramosha?
Okay. This week's Sedras Parshas Va'era. And in it, God sends Moshe to the Jewish people to tell them that he's going to redeem them and that they will eventually enter the land of Israel, and how God had taken an oath to their ancestors, and Moshe fulfilled his obligation. Vayidaber Moshe ken al b'nei Yisrael, and Moshe gave over God's message to the Jewish people. Lo shamu al Moshe mikotz ruach me'avodah kasha. They did not heed or listen or accept, I guess that's the best word. They did not accept what Moshe was telling them. Why? Because of shortness in breath and hard work. Now, then God says to Moshe, go to Paro, the king of Egypt, V'yishalach al b'nei Yisrael, that he should send out the Jewish people from his land. So Moshe said, Heim b'nei Yisrael lo shomu elai, if the Jewish people didn't listen to me, v'eich yishmeini Paro, how do you expect Paro to listen to me? V'ani aral svasayim, especially in view of the fact that I have sealed lips. Moshe had a handicap in speech. So And this is called the Kal V'chomer. It's a logical, I don't even remember what the English word for Kal V'chomer is.
Fortuity.
Huh?
Fortuity,
okay. Now we know. Anyway, so...
A priori.
It's not fortuity. A priori. Not that it makes a difference to us. Anyway, so...
A priori,
okay. So, there's certain things that really can't be translated into English. That's all. It's simple. That's one of them. Okay, a priori. It's a logical thing. The Jewish people don't listen to me, so you expect Paro to listen to me. So...
Did his wife listen to him?
So the Torah says, "Vayirabir Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron v'yitzavim al bnei Yisrael v'al pavmach mitzrayim lahotzias bnei Yisrael meretz mitzrayim." So now God commands him, and he says, "Command to the Jewish people and to Paro to take the Jewish people out of Egypt." Now we see Moshe asked a very logical question. On the basis of logic, if the Jewish people will not listen to me, how do you expect Paro to listen to me? And God says, go and command them, command Paro and command the Jewish people that Paro should take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Where's the answer to the question? First, I'll tell you my father's answer. And then... My father said, and in a sense, this is the idea that I think that the Maharal stresses in regard to Hanukkah. The existence of the Jewish people defies logic. You can't expect an answer when you ask on the basis of logic how the Jewish people survived. Because logically, the Jewish people should not have survived. And this is, but I want to suggest, and the truth of the matter is, I think that the Maharal means this also. The Maharal discusses about Hanukkah. He says Hanukkah is 8 days. He says, why is it 8 days? He says Hanukkah is 8 days because seven is identified with creation. Eight is above creation. And so the question is, how was it above creation? So it's above creation because it was Rabban Biad Matim. There was it was a small army of Jews. It was an untrained army. And they were going against some of the strongest armies of that time. So it defied the laws of nature, the victory of the Hashmonaim. And according to Maharal, that was the reason why they needed the miracle of the Pach HaShemen, of the oil. Because very often when man is involved in bringing a victory, he tends to not see it as being miraculous. He doesn't see it as God's miracle. He sees it as his own miracle. This is the way God revealed to them, don't think you did it by yourself. This was something that went against the laws of nature. This is more or less what the Maharal says. But I think there's more than that. And The interesting thing is the Maral applies the same thing to Bris Milah, to the mitzvah of circumcision. He says circumcision, the mitzvah of Bris Milah is on the eighth day. He says why? Because eight represents above nature. Seven represents nature. Okay, we can understand by Hanukkah how it defies nature. But how does the mitzvah of Bris Milah defy nature? How does it defy nature? But the answer is, and I probably mentioned it here before, this is my own understanding of it, that just like we have laws of physical science, that's nature, we have laws of history as well. I've mentioned here very often, there was a historian at the University of Chicago. I forgot his name already.
Toynbee.
And Toynbee was an anti-Semite. Toynbee was an anti-Semite, and he really did not like the Jewish people. And basically, the reason he didn't like the Jewish people because the Jewish people's existence did not conform to the manner that the existence of the other nations, to the existence of the other nations. The Jewish people were not so susceptible to the influence of the nations that they conquered, whereas the other nations, you know, Rome was victory over Greece, but ultimately it's the Greeks ideology that became the Roman ideology that had the effect on the Roman civilization. But by the Jewish people, you don't find that. The defeated nations, they're constantly on guard against the influence of the defeated nations on their civilization. But I think, and the idea is, so we have laws of history, but the laws of history do not apply to the Jewish people. The laws of history do not apply to the Jewish people. So that's when we say it's above nature. Nature is law. Matter of fact, the Netziv says, Bereshis bara Elokim es haShemayim veHaAretz. He uses the word Elokim, denoting God in terms of creation. Why? Because Elokim represents din, it represents law. And there are laws of nature. But just like the laws of nature, there are laws of history that's also part of the laws of nature. The existence of the Jewish people defies that. Now, what is the mitzvah Bris Milah? In a sense, Avraham Avinu had a choice between, there were two paths for him. Two paths to spread the name of God. One is to be part of the nations of the world. And the other is to start his own nation, to separate himself. And short term, if he became part of the nations of the world, he might have had a bigger influence at that point. You see, the Bnei Ches said to him, Nisi Elokim Atabasochenu. And there's this constant struggle. The people respected Avram. They wanted Avram to be part of them. They wanted that for history, they should be identified with Avram. They wanted Avram and Sarah to be buried in their graves, in the chosen grave lots. You and your wife should be buried. You will be the symbol of our nation. And short term, Avram probably would have had a greater influence if he became part of the Canaanites, if he became part of the Bnei Ches, if he became part of the different nations that existed at that time. The mitzvah of Bris Milah, the mitzvah symbolized the idea of separation. certainly at that time. You see, one of the prerequisites for Gerus is bris milah, is circumcision. So that represents, a matter of fact, according to many, not saying according to everybody, but according to many, you're not allowed to circumcise a non-Jew. So circumcision represents the idea of separation. So that's on the eighth day, because that represents the idea of defying the laws of history. The nations of the world are all subject to the laws of history. And because of this, if they go into exile, they crumble as a nation, because that's part of the law of history. But the Jewish people, even when they went, they're almost 2,000 years in exile. And on the contrary, they continue to be a nation, even to the point of reacquiring their land to a certain degree. So it's the eighth represents defiance of the laws of nature, and the laws of history are part of the laws of nature. That's why eight, the bris, is on the eighth day. And I think, so this is the same idea that my father was suggesting. The laws of history do not apply. The laws of history are based on logic, on power of deduction. We look at the events that occurred to the other nations. And if there's a certain outcome time and time again from one nation to another nation, as Toynbee understood, that's the way all nations have to be. But the Jewish people are not just another nation, but a different type of nation. And the laws of history do not apply to them. And the laws of history don't apply to them. Logic doesn't apply to them either. I think that what my father said works very well with what the Maharal said. But I want to suggest another point, and it starts with another question. We said here we had a Kal V'chomer. And what is the Kal V'chomer? The Kal V'chomer was, if the Jewish people did not listen to me, how do you expect Paro to listen to me? And there's a famous question asked against our sages tell us this is one of the 10 Kal V'chomers that are mentioned in the Torah. But the question everybody asks, why didn't the Jewish people listen to Paro? They didn't listen to Paro mikotzer ruach me'avod kasha, because of shortness of breath.
And huh? Listen to Moshe.
Didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry. They did not listen to Moshe Rabbeinu because shortness of breath and hard work. So they didn't listen. They didn't pay attention. Couldn't say that about Paro. So it's not a logical... This is a question. It's not my question. It's a question everybody asks. But I think there's a very, very simple answer. And the simple answer, and I think this is a lesson that the Jewish people, and to a certain degree, that the United States has to understand. And to a certain degree, that those circumstances have improved recently. The self-perception that we have about ourselves affects the perception that others will have about us. If we consider ourselves failures, if we consider ourselves to be nothing, then others will consider us to be nothing. And what did Mikotzer Ruach Me'avod HaKasha mean? Mikotzer ruach, my brother Kasha, shortness of breath and hard work. That meant that the Jewish people couldn't even imagine themselves becoming free. Slavery was so part of their being that they couldn't imagine. They couldn't imagine themselves as free men or as free people. So that's the Kal Vachomer. And it's interesting. My father once mentioned I mentioned it here, that by the Meraglim, the spies, they said Hayinu kechagavim beineinu v'chein hayinu beineihem. We were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in their eyes. The self-perception that we have of ourselves, that we consider ourselves like grasshoppers, that has an impact on others to consider us. Now that's another nation, another people. But when it comes to a master and slave, the longer the slave sees himself as capable of only being a slave, the more the master will not be able to perceive the slave being anything but a slave. And to a certain degree, the masters know that. That's why usually the masters take all kinds of action that the slave should have that feeling, because that reinforces their feeling as the master of slaves. And this is what I think is the answer here. Mikotzer ruach me'avot kasha. So from hard work, in other words, they saw themselves as slaves. So certainly Paro will see them as slaves. And it's interesting, the answer is very, very strange. Moshe complained to God that the Jewish people didn't listen to him. So then Moshe tells Paro, then God tells Moshe, talk to Paro. So Moshe asks a logical question. They're not going to listen to me. So what's God's response? God says, command them. Vayitzaveim, he commanded them, El Bnei Yisrael, to the Jewish people, the El Paro Melech Mitzrayim, and to Paro, to let the Jewish people out. That is the response. My father said there was no answer. I think there is an answer. The answer is, if the Jewish people will understand that they have to become free, ultimately Paro will understand it also. Vayitzaveim, he commanded them, El Paro, to Paro, the king of Egypt, commanded them to the Jewish people, and to Paro, the king of Egypt. In other words, Moshe, when I told you to go to Paro, I didn't mean for you to go only to Paro. You have to work on the Jewish people, but more than that, don't ask Paro. You got to command Paro. Don't make it seem like we're asking him for a favor. Now, it's very interesting. We have four cups Pesach night, and they correspond with the four expressions of Gula, of redemption, that's mentioned at the beginning of this week's Seder. However, the Yerushalmi mentions another opinion, Rashi and Psachim, in a somewhat changed way, mentions that Yerushalmi. Rashi, I mentioned it here in Parshas Vayigash, I think. In Parshas Miketz. In Parshas Miketz, Yosef is giving his, Vayeshev. At the end of Parshas Vayeshev, the Sar HaMashkim, the butler of Paro, tells his dream to Yosef. The one statement that's repeated over and over is Vikos Paro Biyadi. The butler was put in prison. He was fired from his job. To a certain degree, his life was at stake. Paro was reviewing the status of those of his servants that were put into prison. And the baker was hung. And he has this dream, and his dream is Vikos Paro Biyadi. Three times it's mentioned that he says the cup of Paro is in my hand. And then one time Yosef makes reference to it when he gives his interpretation of the dream. So four times it talks about holding the cup of Paro. And the Yerushalmi says, that's why we drink four cups of wine. That's why we drink four cups of wine in Pesach. Because in the discussion between Yosef and the butler of Paro, the word Kos Paro Biyadi, the cup of Paro is in my hand, is mentioned four times. It seems very odd, very odd. But the answer is the idea is Kos Paro Biyadi means I am king now, not Paro. Pesach night, when we celebrate Cheres, when we celebrate freedom, it's not just a celebration of freedom. Sukkot is a celebration of freedom. Shavuos is also Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's all Exodus. But when we talk about freedom, we have to see ourselves in place of Paro. You have to see Paro escorts the Jewish people when they leave Egypt. And in a sense, they have to give gifts to the Jewish people. Why is it that way? In other words, we have to be our own masters. Because so long as we recognize Paro as our master, what was our relationship with Paro? Our relationship with Paro was, we were the slaves, and he as king were the masters. So, Kos Paro Biyadi means I'm in place of Paro. Because unless we see ourselves as being in place of Paro in terms of ourselves, then we remain slaves. Doesn't mean that we have to adopt Paro's way of life. Then Paro is the master. Because in a certain manner, just as Greece had an impact on Rome, so to a certain degree, while they lost the military battle, they won the battle of the nature of the civilization. Kos Paro Biyadi means that I have to see myself as being my own master. And to a certain degree, that was the problem with the Jewish people in the desert, saying, I'm going to go back to Egypt. I want to go back. Zochanu Esadaga. In other words, it was difficult for them to maintain that feeling of not seeing themselves as slaves. So this is the The whole idea behind the four cups corresponding with Kos Paro means that we have to recognize that we are our own masters, and not the, and to a certain degree, I think, when the state of Israel sees other nations as their master, in a sense, they are enslaving themselves. We want peace. There's no question we want peace. But the more we make ourselves slaves, the more we make ourselves slaves, and slaves doesn't have to be just with work. Slaves could be with all kinds of other things as well. In other words, honestly, I don't see why, if I'm against the Palestinian, the so-called Palestinian nation, because I know what's going to be the result. But if there is going to be a Palestinian nation, I don't see that Israel should be required to give them money. I don't see that Israel, when they promote acts of terrorism, that Israel has to give them financial support. And to a certain degree, I think this started perhaps. It started with Carter, but Republican presidents also, to a certain degree, I think that Trump has alleviated part of the problem. In other words, the United States. Why do we have to, if we feel that we have to invade a country, why do we have to have the UN agree with us? If you don't want to invade, don't invade. But if we're, I agree, if we're helping some other country, they also have to contribute. But there is this, Obama more than anybody else, this idea, leading from behind. You know what leading from behind means? I'm not sure what it means. Leading from behind. But this is the problem when we lead from behind. You know, they would say Pnei Hador ke Pnei Hakelev, the face of the generation is like the face of the dog. So, there are a number of possible explanations. My predecessor, Rabbi Rich, my predecessor's predecessor, actually, I used to daven the shul. He was a very, very fine man, a nice man. And he sometimes would say, he says, a sharp comment that was very good. He says, our sages say that the Pnei Hador Pnei Chalav, when Mashiach comes, the generation Mashiach will come, the face of the generation will be like the face of dogs. He said, that was in the last generation. Can you imagine what I'm saying, this generation? He said, to say about this generation, Pnei Hador Pnei Chalav, the face of the generation, is like the face of the dogs, would be an insult to the dogs. Anyway, so, But the other interpretation that I heard, Pnei Hador ke Pnei Hakelev, because the Kelev is the loyal pet, of the master. Now, if you ever see a dog, someone holding a leash of the dog, usually the dog's in front.
Who's cleaning up after whom?
The dog's in front. Anyway, and but if the dog starts running, you start running after him. So we're leading from behind. So this is the Pnei Hador to Pnei HaKelev. It has reference to when the generation, but usually the Kelev goes where the dog wants. So they would say Pnei Hador to Pnei HaKelev, that the face of the generation that represents the leaders of the generation. And they'll be like the dog. They're leaders in the sense that they're in the front. But the people are really the ones holding the strings. Now, when we leave from behind, we're the dog. And the other nations become our masters. And it's the opposite of the dog in that. So when we leave from behind, and ultimately, in all these wars that we had, all these other nations helping us out from, the other nations dropped out. You know, it's like in last week's Sedra, when Moshe and Aaron go to Paro, according to the Medrash, the Skenim go along with him. But as they're going along the path, each one drops out. By the time they reach the palace, it's just Moshe and Aaron. And that seems to be, you find it in the war between the four and five kings. Avram goes with all the soldiers. At the end, by the time they reach the battlefield, according to Medrash, it's just Avram and Eliezer. Whenever we lead from behind, so either they're leading us or they're leaving us. And we end up, we're not able to make the decisions, but they don't come and help us out either. And this is the idea here. The idea here is that we have to understand the Pnei Kos Paro B'Yadi, that we can't have other leaders. We have to be our own leaders, because otherwise we'll be like the dogs.
That's right.
About the
Bimei,
the
motion.
Table cloths on the tables. Please clean off the dishes. And napkins and stuff. And we're going to be davening in 3 minutes. Marv.